Illinois Public Media News, this is 2 and 7 today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, March 5th. Coming up, we'll learn about NPR's Student Podcast Challenge and what students and adults need to know before they submit. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Hundreds of parents and some of their children rallied at the Illinois State Capitol yesterday, demanding continued investments in early childhood needs. It was part of an annual advocacy day put on by groups like Illinois Action for Children and Raising Illinois. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, who spoke at the rally, says the state is already doing better for its youngest kids.
We put $250 million more dollars into early childhood block grant. Under Smart Start Illinois, we created 11,000 new pre-K seats as we work to end preschool deserts.
But Governor Pritzker has suggested level funding for early childhood block grants next year. That means the state couldn't add more pre-K spots in underserved areas like it has the last 2 years. Education funding overall would get a boost under Pritzker's proposal. Education advocates are rallying to thwart President Trump's planned massive cuts to the Department of Education. Michael Puente reports.
Advocates say those cuts, including doing away with the Department of Education altogether, would be devastating to low-income students, kids with disabilities, and first-generation college students. Randy Weingarten heads the American Federation of Teachers.
Do not take these services away from kids. Do not take this money away from kids. Do not harm kids. We need to do more for kids, not less. And particularly, do not do this to actually give billionaires an additional tax cut.
The Chicago Teachers Union rallied this morning as part of the National Day of Action.
Most Chicago area universities have so far held firm against President Trump's attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion in higher education. But Northwestern has erased mentions of DEI from several of its webpages, and this week took down the website for the Campus Women's Center. Lisa Corian Phillip reports.
Jonathan Feingold is among a group of law professors urging university leaders to maintain efforts to make campuses more inclusive. He says DEI initiatives are not just legal, but critical to higher education.
You actually can't achieve the goal of robust and open inquiry and discourse and teaching and learning if you're not creating environments that are free from racial bias, stigma, stereotypes, and harassment.
Northwestern says it's reviewing its programs to ensure they comply with federal law. Lisa Corian Phillip, WBEZ News.
Engineers at Washington University have built a sensor that can detect the presence of bird flu particles within minutes. Sarah Fenton reports the researchers say the device could keep farmers from having to cull their flocks when they detect the contagious virus.
U.S. farmers have had to kill millions of birds that have tested positive for avian flu. WashU engineers last year began developing a machine that uses so-called wet cyclone technology. The mini fridge-sized machine sucks in air, spins it in liquid to trap particles, and sends an alert when it detects the flu. Engineering professor Rajan Chakrabarty says the machine is meant to be a first line of defense.
You get a rough estimate of if at all there is any virus present, and if yes, that particular area where this virus has been detected can be protected, can be just blocked off.
Bird flu has also been found in cattle and, in some rare cases, humans.
Still to come, we'll learn about NPR's Student Podcast Challenge and what students and adults need to know before they submit. That story is coming up next on 2 and 7 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today: cloudy and blustery with a chance of rain showers, possibly changing over to snow flurries late in the day. Temperatures falling into the middle 30s by the evening. Southwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy and windy with a chance of light rain or snow showers and a low of 26 degrees. A west wind 20 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 45 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 44 degrees. Northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 33 degrees, southeast wind 5 miles per hour, and for Friday, cloudy with a chance of rain and a high of 47 degrees, and a southeast wind 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, the past, present, and future of nuclear power and nuclear safety with Katherine Huff. She's on the University of Illinois' Nuclear Engineering faculty, but was also a high-ranking official in the Department of Energy during the Biden administration. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 in 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. NPR's Student Podcast Challenge is open to students in grades 4 through 12. I spoke with Steve Drummond and Janet Lee from NPR's Education Desk about what students and adults need to know before they submit. What inspired the two of you to get a podcast challenge going?
Back 7-8 years ago, we had that terrible shooting in Parkland, Florida, mm-hmm. and many of the students there had started becoming activists and were speaking out about the gun violence that had happened in their school. And there was a bit of a national discussion about elevating youth voices. For some time, we had been thinking on the education team about some project that would kind of put our money where our mouth is in terms of involving students and involving teachers around the country. And that's what led us to start the podcast challenge.
This one is for students in grades 4 through 12. What parameters do they have to follow and what can they submit?
Every work that students produce must be self-made. You should write your own script, work on it yourself. And for these young students, you have to work with someone who is 18 years or older to submit it. So that can be your teacher in most cases, or we get a lot of entries from librarians, sometimes parents or other educators. And we ask that it is limited between 3 to 8 minutes in length. Over the years, we learned, especially from our younger folks, the shorter the better. And one last thing that I would add is not using any copyrighted audio. So we want to make sure that we can share your work on the radio and want to make sure that everything you have is original material. But other than that, it's truly open. Any topic you want could be something you're working on in class, a passion project. We get a lot of family stories, also a different form of like final assignments made.
What are some of the favorites that you've been getting? I know you said you get a lot of family topics from students. What do you like about this podcast challenge?
One of the things I've noticed over the years, Kimberly, is so many, as you know, young people at that age, we all probably were too, are very focused on who they are and mm-hmm. what their place is in the world. And we've had a lot of really moving and compelling stories of students exploring their identity or their racial or gender identity or their place in the world through their families or talking to their grandparents or whatever. But at the other end of the spectrum, we've had students engage in actual journalism. One year, a student from New Orleans bought a water test kit at Home Depot, and he took it into his school and tested the water in his drinking fountain and found unusually high levels of lead in the schools. And that made a big stink in the New Orleans public schools. We've had entire classes take on an investigative reporting project all over the map. The one thing that Janet and I notice so much every year is the thing that really makes a podcast stand out is the students really bringing their own passion and their interest in it and really sort of conveying that. If it's something that, if it's a story that you really want to tell and you're fired up to tell it, that tends to come through the microphone and into our headphones.
For the students, when they're putting everything together, is there anything they should stay away from? Should they be looking at specific levels or being in a certain room? I know that audio quality can kind of be hard if they're out in the world, but I imagine that ambient sound is okay in this particular case.
Oh, we welcome natural sound and ambient sound. I would say the one that I would stay away from, and you know, this is because it's for our 4th through high school students, we get a lot of entries recorded in the lunchroom that I'm listening and I'm like, oh, I want to know what's happening, but there's all your friends talking in the background, so we can't hear you. So I would actually make sure you record yourselves in somewhat of a quiet space where we can hear you. And yeah, we love any types of exploring natural sounds, getting interviews. We also get a lot of podcasts where it's just one student telling us a beautiful story. But we would love for you to think about how you can use sound to make that something more special.
Janet, yeah. Talk about pillow forts.
Yeah, pillow forts. I was actually just going to throw to that, Steve. We have a resources page called Sound Advice from NPR. And one of them is this sweet little video on our correspondent, Don Gagne, who travels a lot building pillow forts in different rooms that he has to stay in. So using a bunch of pillows to make sort of like your self-made studio that any student can make so you can sound beautiful and kind of round out that room tone. So yeah, that's just one of many resources we have. We also have one on how to use music, how to collect sound, all using simple tools like a phone and a laptop, and you can do it all. So I would definitely check that out if you're wanting to take it to the next level.
Is there anything that either of you would like to add that people can look forward to?
I think we're going to hear a lot of stories. You know this as well as I do, Kimberly. When grownups talk to children and interview them, they speak very formally and they speak in a certain way. And what we've heard and what has really delighted us through the 7 years of the Student Podcast Challenge is hearing young people either talking to each other or talking in their own voices. And that is what really makes some of these stories stand out. And we'll look forward to hearing our grand prize winners and our finalists on All Things Considered Morning Edition and all of our shows.
It doesn't have to be some heavy, big topic. Some of our best entries, I think, are just really fun and creative. I remember one of our finalists last year was a fiction podcast that was a conversation between hydrogen and oxygen, something that I would have never come up with in script, and also very informative and very well fact-checked. So anything that excites you, I would go for it. I think we can really tell when you're excited about what you're talking about, and that's exactly what we're looking for.
Submission for the Student Podcast Challenge are open through May 2nd. For more information, visit npr.org and search for Student Podcast Challenge. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Michael Puente, Lisa Corrion-Phillip, Sarah Fentum, and Kimberly Schofield. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hartwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.